this soul is wise. How long is it for, this place? The book of Daniel says that some go to everlasting contempt, some go to everlasting life. Matthew's gospel talks about an unquenchable fire, a fire that's never put out. Luke's gospel talks about a fire that's never put out. Matthew's gospel says, depart from me to eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't want to go to that sort of place. It's going to be pretty rough with it being an unquenchable fire, but to go to a place where the devil is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this, those who don't obey God, the good news of our Lord Jesus, will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. You see, if the flames and the pain and the suffering and the torment wasn't bad enough, can you imagine what it's been like to be shut out from the presence of God for forever? We think about time, but can you imagine what it's like when time ceases to exist, when we step out into eternity? And it just goes on and on. There isn't an end to it. Jude talks about eternal fire. The Revelation chapter 14 says, the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no night or day. There's no way out. There's no relenting. There's no second chance. Just supposing I had two tickets this morning. How many of you like playing Monopoly? And I used to play it as a child. I don't play it now because my kids are better than me at it. Especially Joshua. He gets all the houses and the rent goes up. But just supposing you can have one. Get out of jail free. Right? And you're smiling nicely, I'll give you one. Okay, now, if I gave you a ticket to get out of hell free, what would you think, Carol?
Pretty good.
Is that all? Pretty good? Pretty good? You'd be quite overwhelmed, really, wouldn't you? I guess Ollie, you would as well, wouldn't you? Just put yourselves in a position where all of a sudden you suddenly recognise that you're on your way there, but somebody says, actually, let you have my ticket, so I'll go there instead. I'll pay the penalty, and you can have my ticket. But wouldn't you want to just keep it to yourself. You'd say, oh, I want to tell somebody else about this, wouldn't you? You see, until we get to grips with hell, our spirits are kind of apathetic and a bit dull. When we realize what we're saved from, we suddenly realize, hey, actually, this is really exciting. This is what my faith is really all about. This is living Christianity. This is what it's all about. We're not here to be babysitters for the community, although all those things are nice, and we do youth clubs and all that kind of stuff. Those are important. But the real crux of the matter is actually what's lit up over there, the cross. So we've got the possibility of a free ticket. And instead of saying get out of jail free, supposing it said get out of hell free. Clive, I know you've already got one of those, but have another one. You might find somebody who needs one. Get out of hell free. And I want to ask you this morning, have you got that ticket? Have you got that ticket where you actually know where you're going in the next life? Pretty somber, really, isn't it? But it all makes sense when we see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You see, God doesn't want people to go to hell. He says he loves them. The word love in the Greek there is agape, which means to see is infinitely precious. And it says that he saw the world as so infinitely precious that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, that's good, isn't it? Hello? We're on the good news now. You still look as if we're having the bad news. Is it any wonder that the gospel, the word in the Greek for gospel is eugelios, which means good news? There were no other books written in the first century that had that title on them. Why? Because there wasn't any good news. And the good news today for mankind, 2,000 years later, is that religion doesn't work. Money doesn't work. Sex and alcohol and drugs and trying to get into heaven doesn't work. The good news is that God has done it for us. Ah, but it says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Romans 5 says this, why we were still helpless. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's you. God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still in your imperfect state, God did something about it. He didn't wait until you got a doctorate of theology or some professorship of theology and got it all worked out. Because you never can. He sorted it out while you were still you. That's extraordinary, isn't it? No wonder the Gospels are called gospel. Good news. Colossians chapter 2, it says this, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. John 10 says this, my sheep know my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I have given them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hand. The Bible also talks about books and the book of life. And Psalm 69 says this, my sins have been blotted out the book of life. Hello? Hello? Doesn't that make you feel excited? It makes me feel excited that my sins, and if you knew what goes on up in there, maybe that's why I've lost so much hair, is that my sins have been blotted out of the book of life. I've done it myself. I've worked it out for myself. I've saved my... No, I haven't actually. There is nothing I can do to save myself. It is all a gift of grace. And if God were going around handing out tickets, he would say, don't just have a ticket, have my son. It's extraordinary. Luke chapter 10 says this, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Psalm 139 says, in your book are written all the days of my life before I ever lived one of them. Philippians says, my fellow workers in the gospel whose names are recorded in the book of life. Revelation 3 says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Can you imagine that, getting to heaven? And Jesus says, I know you, Keith, in front of God. That Jesus stands in the gap and he says, no, God, I know him. He's one of mine. Bring him in. That's extraordinary, is it? Can you imagine what it's like? You know, I like it when Iris calls my name. Most of the time, unless I've done something wrong, then I hide. Perhaps I don't. But can you imagine the Prime Minister calling your name or the Queen? Can you imagine Jesus calling your name? Tom, before the Father, I know you. Your sins are blotted out. It's extraordinary, isn't it? And all this stems from hell. This is where we've been saved from, and now we know where we're going. It's extraordinary. Revelation 20 says this, those whose names were not found in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire. Those whose names were not written in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire. How can we conclude this morning? First of all, hell, it's a real place. Who's it for? For the devil and those who reject God. And God doesn't want them to go there. How long is it for? It's forever. The good news? Jesus. Jesus. He's not just a religious prophet, as some people would think. Here's the perfect sacrifice who has paid the price for everything you've ever done wrong, said wrong, thought wrong. And I tell you what, that is an awful lot, isn't it? Hello, you still with me? You've done a lot wrong, haven't you, if you're really honest with yourselves, and there is nothing you can do about that. If you ever look at the nature of other religions, and I can get into trouble for saying this, they're wanting you to earn your way in salvation. The Bible says, not by works, lest any man should boast. Can you imagine, I'll get into heaven and I'll say to Nareen, I've done a lot more in this life than you have, and she'll say, no, I've done more than you. We wouldn't be thinking about God or Jesus or the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. We would be thinking of ourselves. And that's what religion does. It takes away the significance of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Christ's love for us. If hell is not real, why did he die? If hell is not real, why did he rise again? Proverbs 19 verse 8 says this, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Do you love your soul? Oh, that's a weird thing to say, but we've unpacked it a bit this morning. You think you love your own soul? God loves it even more. 2 Peter 3 says this, God is not willing that any should perish. Proverbs 25:25 says this, like cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a distant land. We've had good news this morning. We've had bad news, but we've had great news. That this is not it. That the Christian faith is all about the fact that Jesus died and rose again because you're so precious. You can't put a value on your life. Not in this life, but also in the next life to come. And if we get to grips with the subject of hell, as I've said, it will change your prayer life. It will change your worship life. It will change everything about the way you approach and read this book. It'll change everything about the way you live. It will change everything about the way you die. I can't wait to die, not in a morbid sense, but I know where I'm going. I've got my get out of hell free card. Have you got yours? Have you got yours? Let's just bow our heads for a moment. First of all, Lord God, we want to thank you for Jesus, who saw in each one of us something far more valuable and worthwhile than we could ever possibly imagine. Help us this day to get to grips with the nature of life and the next life. Help us to make that step closer towards you. And just while heads are bowed, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to God in your heart. Maybe you need to come back to God. Maybe your heart has gone cold. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you don't know him as well as you know you should do. But I'm just going to say a short prayer, and if you want to say it in your heart, then just repeat it after me. You don't have to say it aloud. You can just say it quietly in your heart if you want to. Dear Father, I confess to you that I am so terribly wrong and sinful. I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to accept him in my life. I accept the fact that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the answer. Help me to respond to you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer in your heart this morning, then don't go home without speaking to somebody about it. We'd love to just have a chat with you. And just pray with you, because this is perhaps, it's the most exciting part of your life, knowing that the rest is just brilliant to come. With that, I think we need to finish on a good worship song.